Good morning. My name is Oscar Benavides. I'm a guest pastor here, and it's been here a lot, not recently, but I know a lot of you. A lot of you have become friends. So every time I get asked to come, or I actually have to pay to come, but still, I enjoy and love seeing you and just hear the progress and how the church is doing. So it's great being with you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity and the joy to be with you. Well, Pastor Jim asked me to come preach many months ago. We talked about it, and we finally got a date. And, you know, time went on, and then I got an email. I was on vacation with the text. He said, hey, we're going through Daniel. You got chapter 10. I'm like, great, thanks. And then I looked at Daniel. I'm like, what? What is that? Did you hear the reading of it? So I'm reading through, and I was like, oh, thanks, Jim. Thanks a lot. Oh, what am I going to do? So I read it a second time. I read it a third time. And that's the way it is with Scripture. Sometimes when you open the Bible, it's exactly what you need to hear, and it'll be hit you right on. Other times, it happens to all of us. We read it, and like nothing's there. We don't even necessarily understand it, or it really doesn't hit us where we are at that moment. Don't get discouraged. Just keep reading. And read again, read it a second time, read it a third time. I've been in seminary, and I still have to do that. I still have to read it. I still have to study and figure out, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say in the Bible? And then what are you trying to say to me through what you said in the Bible? And so, you know, I do love Pastor Jim, and I'm not that mad at him. But Morgan said, so how did you do in your preparation? I'm like, oh, he goes, yeah, I know. So did we. It's like, yeah, sometimes God gives us those passages, but one thing to remember, all scripture is beneficial. All of it is inspired by God, and God speaks to us through all of it. So so stay with it. Well, this morning, that passage on chapter 10 of Daniel is a vision that Daniel sees, and it deals with his time for him and Israel in Babylon, and talking about their future, because their present wasn't very good. And it reminds me a lot of today, of what's going on in our world today. And what the vision is all about is really about spiritual warfare. God wanted Daniel to know that it's not just what you see. There's things behind the scene that you don't see, that you don't understand. And therefore, one thing you have to do is first is trust in God. Second thing is you have to be in prayer, and you have to fight the fight through your knees, not through Facebook. So, not that I ever do that, not that any of us ever do that here, but it's one of those things that we have to really focus on what it is God wants us to do. So, I want to pray and just a second for that message, but first I want to say thank you. Your support to Link has been amazing. Some of you have been praying for us, and some of you went to our banquet that we had. And we're starting this new year. We haven't had any new schools in a couple years. So this year we have three new schools. We're actually going into a new town from Farmers Branch, Carrollton. We're now going into the Colony and into Valley Ranch in Irving. So our sphere is spreading. And it's not something that we're trying to do. God is just opening up these doors. And I have other school districts that keep calling us and saying, hey, we want your program. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Regardless, God is blessing it. And that comes from prayer. And thank you for that. Really appreciate that. So let me pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we know, Lord, that you are God, and that you alone are the one we want to trust in. But the truth is that though we just sang that song, we struggle with that. When we're not here in church, we struggle with trusting you, with our jobs, with our relationships. And the way the world is right now, Lord, it's hard to trust you with our nation. And Father, we want to trust you. Help us grow and learn how to do that. Help us, Father, be able to give up control and to release it and to rest in you. Help us also be people, Lord, that don't clamor and fight, but that in humbleness, Lord, we repent and we pray. Please, Father, open our eyes, open our ears, and especially open our hearts to your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Back in May, I was talking to my kids and I told them the news that just came up on TV, which was that Ted Cruz had stepped down from his the election because he gave in the fact that he would not win. And so I told my kids that, my 10-year-old, my 8-year-old, just knew, just letting them know, because my father-in-law is really into politics and he has taken them to different political things. And so they're really up there with understanding politics. And so I said, oh yeah, Ted Cruz is out. So, Trump's going to be the nominee. And my daughter says, what? That means that Hillary will win. I was supposed to grow up in a better world. She starts crying and crying. I'm like, oh, Grandpa. Thank you, Grandpa. So political. I couldn't console her. And on the good side, I was very pleased that she thinks that way, that she's wise and she thinks about her future and she knows the influence that a president can have on a nation. But what she doesn't understand yet to the level that I want her to, and I'm hoping you and I get to the same place, where we understand that regardless of what happens in November, regardless of what happens in the news, regardless of what happens in all the cities and the unrest and all the things that are happening, there's a bigger plan and there's a lot of things behind the scenes that are not visible by the human eye. There's a spiritual war going on for our nation, for our people. And therefore, a lot of what the Bible's telling us in Daniel chapter 10 is about what we should be doing and how we can be effective and where we can place our trust. So looking at this passage in Daniel chapter 10, you have been going through the first 9 chapters and you have been taught by a pastor. I heard his last week's message, which was really good. If you haven't heard it from Daniel chapter 9, please listen to it. And one of the things that was going on was, you're talking about Daniel. Daniel was a government official in Persia's Babylonian's government. He was actually a Jew who, at a teen young age, was taken captive from Israel and taken to Babylon. Taken from his home, from his family, from his friends, and with all the young people, was taken there. And then he was picked out of all those young people as one of the most talented. For example, those of you who were at the youth gathering, by the way, in New Orleans, congratulations. That was awesome that y'all went. I applaud you. Sometimes you don't think that no one's listening for this great experience. Let me tell you what to do, parents. Please, ask a lot of questions. And ask the questions, so therefore, what's going to happen now? Therefore, what are you going to do different this school year? Have an action plan. But imagine you're in this big gathering of all the young people. That's the way it was in Babylon. All these young people that were brought over from Israel and from other nations too. And Daniel rose up among all those thousands. Not because he thought he was great, but because God's spirit was upon him and he was wise. And he was so dedicated to God and constantly putting his life at risk for that faith. And God always spoke to him. You all know all the stories of Daniel. So now he's a little older. And now we have a new king. His name's Cyrus. And this is his third year. A lot of changes are going on. And in last week's sermon, you heard about this prophecy that was given to him that Israel will be let go. And they will be able to restore all these people back to Israel. And they're going to have their wonderful nation again. And when he looks around, he doesn't see that happening, and he's getting upset and worried, so he goes on a fast. And they call it Daniel's fast nowadays, but it's a fast where all he could do is drink just water, eat vegetables, and tacos. It's in there. If you read it in Spanish, like I did, you'll see that, but I know you don't really speak Spanish, sorry. So, by the way, those who don't know me, I'm just kidding. If it sounds outrageous, it probably is. Just don't listen to that. It was quesadillas, not tacos. And so That's all he did for 21 days is just eat vegetables and water and drink water. But his focus was not on food. His focus was on prayer. And knowing Daniel, he spent a lot of time in repentance. And what that means is that he would sit and just talk to God about his own sinfulness. Just like it did in chapter 9, you see that there. What he does is he talks about his own need. And he admits to God, and he actually confesses the sins of the whole nation. Takes it upon himself. And because of his humility, his righteousness, his repentance, God gives him visions. But this time, after his 21 days, he had no vision. Nothing came. 22nd day, nothing. 23rd, finally came. And he gets this very rare, weird vision. It tells us in Scripture that what he saw after his 21 days was really interesting. It says that he saw this being that looked like a man, a linen robe. He had a topaz torso, lightning face, flaming torched eyes. You see torches? It's right there. Torched eyes. Legs like bronze, a Greek statue, and a voice that sounded like a choir when he talks. Does that remind you of anybody you've read about in Scripture before? Revelation chapter 1. John sees the same character, and John ascribes that character as Jesus. But John saw him in the future. Okay? Daniel was seeing him before he ever came to earth, before he was incarnate, the pre-incarnate Christ. And he sees him, and then an angel starts speaking to him and gives him the message. Now, why does Jesus appear to him to comfort him? To again tell him, I got this. I mean, this Jesus he saw was not a weak, feeble being that he saw. It was powerful. Never seen anything like that before. And again, to give him the authority in the sense that when he speaks, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And the scriptures tell us that, in fact, that the people that were with Daniel, they didn't hear it. They didn't see it. But they were terrified of what Daniel was seeing. They were terrified. And I don't know if you ever had an experience before with a spirituality and a physical manifestation before, where your hairs in the back of your neck kind of stand up and your heart starts racing and you start getting really tense when you're seeing something spiritual like that. I have. I've had several of those. And I'll never forget those moments, whether it was a demon possession or something else that happened that was just way out of ordinary. But those things do happen. And it's for this people here, they were terrified. One of the things that happened then was that God spoke through this angel to Daniel. And it says here that the first thing the angel says to him is, don't fear. Don't fear. Have you heard that before from an angel? When? I can't hear you. You don't have a mic, I guess. Mary, right? And Joseph. And you see this over again, that God's messengers, we call them angels, his messengers, when they speak, they start with those words, don't fear. Okay? That when you... I don't know about you, but I have a wife who's very scared about stuff, like me walking up the stairs. What? I didn't know you were coming up. She gets startled really easily. And when you're younger, you know, we got married, I used to do it on purpose. I used to hide and suddenly jump out and do stuff and freak her out, give her heart attacks. Well, there's been residual effects of that. 25 years later, she's like, why are you so creepy? I'm like, I'm just walking down the hall. What was I telling you that? It was just fun, I guess. I don't know. But I love my wife, so I try to warn her. I'm like, it's me. She's like, what? I'm like, trying to warn you. She says, it doesn't matter what you do, you know? And kids, don't try this at home, all right? With your parents. So I've tried really hard because I love her now. Not that I love her 20 years ago, but I was more selfish. To kind of give her some warning. Hey, it's me. Every time an angel comes, it's always that sense, don't be afraid. It's okay. Because it comes from love. It's a message of love to you from God. And that's what happens to Daniel. And the message of love was really amazing to me. He says, don't fear. Since you humbled yourself and set yourself to gain understanding, God has heard your prayers. And I've come to you because of your prayers. God has heard your prayers. And there's nothing like that, to know that someone is actually listening to you. Because very few people do, right? A lot of people hear, but they really don't listen. God doesn't just hear your prayers. He actually listens to your prayers. And we see that over and over and over in Scripture, where he affirms that. It can be in your heart. It can be in desperation. It can be just between you and him in the car, and he really does listen. And sometimes we need to hear that. Some of you maybe have given up on God and have given up on prayer. Maybe prayer is just not the thing you do anymore. I want you to know that he really does care and he really does listen. So Daniel needed to know that. Daniel needed to know that God was listening. He says, and this is the weird part, okay? The prince or the demon of the kingdom of Persia fought me and kept me from coming to you for 21 days. There's a spiritual battle going on, and the king of Persia, I'm sorry, the angel of Persia, not the king, the angel, in other words, the demon that was over that evil nation, would not allow this angel, which I think is Gabriel, to come and tell Daniel the message. And there's this battle going on, and finally it says that Michael came and helped and to release him so that he could come. And that's why it was 21 days, and he still didn't hear anything. Gabriel or another angel was being delayed. And sometimes we feel like that, like, you know, God, I need you now. Okay, now. Where are you? Remember when Mary and Martha's brother died, was dead for 4 days, and they come to Jesus, it's like, where were you? He's been dead. We called upon you, and you didn't come. And Jesus still brought him back from the dead. Even if you think sometimes that whatever situation that God came on too late, it's not too late for him. It's never too late. God answers your prayers. And Daniel here was experiencing that in a very powerful way. But he's being humble and he's seeking God with his heart. And God allows him to see something that the whole nation of Israel needed to know. Because they had this expectation that God really loved them, therefore God's going to give us what we want. Because God really loves us, right? And what do they want? Freedom from these heathens and the Persians. And God doesn't give it to them. Not then. Not for hundreds and hundreds of years. And God wanted Daniel to know, hey, this is what's going on. He says, the Persians, the angel of Persia held me, and after I return, then it will be the Greek one. In other words, you're not going to be free from the, you might be free from the Persians, but the Greeks are taking over. And then what happens? You know this, the history, right? Then the Romans took over, and then Jesus comes, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to free us from those Romans. No, he doesn't. In fact, he barely ever speaks of the Romans. And let me tell you, the Romans were much more corrupt and much more evil than our current government in Washington. Some of you are like, I doubt it. Seriously, read the history of what they did to the Jews. And then later what they did to the Christians. They're a horrible, horrible government. that kills so many Christians. And did Jesus kick him out? He could have, right? No, he didn't. And when you read the news and you see what's going on all around us, and there's a sense of need, of desperation, of God, free us from this. We need a new president. We need a new Congress. That's not the point. God might give us one. He might do whatever. I don't know. Doesn't look very good to me either way. I think my daughter would be much better president. Yes, I know she's only 10, but she has a great dad who knows politics pretty good. My daughter doesn't get it yet. And many of us here don't either. That God's not going to free us from this evil government. It doesn't matter who comes on. It's not about that. It's about you. And that's what he was trying to tell Daniel. Israel, it doesn't matter who's ruling over you. I am setting a new government. And the president's name is Jesus. And that's what I want you to focus on. He said he's setting up his kingdom, which means government, his kingdom. And therefore, in Matthew chapter 5, he says, the kingdom of God is like this. This is how you should be. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemakers. No, we're going to fight for our rights. It's not what he was talking about. He was not talking about being contentious and fighting. He was saying, if somebody slaps you here, give them the other one. You want to be first? You be the last one. Be a servant. That's the kingdom of God. That's what he talked about. That's what changes lives. When people see that in you, in your life, being a servant and being loving, guess what? Their lives are changed by you and what you do. By you following what God asks you to do. Not by who you vote for. Not by your new post on Facebook. It's about the character and Christ in you. It doesn't matter who's over us. It doesn't matter what they do. Because Jesus is your king. And he's a benevolent king. And he's in charge. And he's in control. We are called to live in his kingdom. And stand alone in Christ. Not on the things that seem to be sinking right now, right? They seem like our foundations of our nation are really moving, shifting. People out there are screaming for some stability. You have it. Don't go to their side, to the unstable place. Stand right here. Stand on Christ. Be a servant. Serve other people. And you and I will see that real things happen. God does amazing spiritual things. So maybe you can do a Daniel's fast. Maybe you can spend some hours this week and just praying. And ask God, help me, Lord, be focused on your kingdom. Can we sing the song?